Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, for study number 86, please. This Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 86-Unholy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." Now let us pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege of prayer. We call upon your precious and holy name. Lord, we give you praise and glory for being the God that you are. Thank you, Lord, as our Creator, our Redeemer, Lord, our Protector. We give you praise and glory. Touch us now as to speak, and Lord, may we declare the whole counsel of God, and Lord, may we not waver, but may we tell it like it is and give you the glory. Touch hearts and lives that hear this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in this study, which is number 86 today, we will be on this word unholy, which is found in verse 9 of this first chapter of the first book of Timothy. Now, this is called Study 86 of our 15-minute audio Bible study commentaries of the book of 1 Timothy. Please go back and listen to the past 85 lessons that we've already presented, if you can, on this same chapter. The word unholy is mentioned four times in the Bible. It's found one time in the Old Testament and three times in the New Testament. Quite frankly, I did not know that. I figured it'd be listed a lot of times. The word unholy means not sanctified. It means not hallowed or not consecrated, and it means wicked. The word holy is the opposite of the word unholy, of course. The first two letters, U-N, mean that it's not. And so the word unholy just simply means not holy. The word holy is mentioned 544 times in the Bible, and it's mentioned 375 times, in the Old Testament and 169 times in the New Testament. The word holy means sacred, consecrated, hallowed, sanctified, blessed, or godly. Look up the word holy in your concordance and see all the things that God calls holy, and you'll see that we are certainly missing the mark and coming short of the holy things in our day. You'll be amazed of how many times the word holy is mentioned and what things that God calls holy. The first mention of the word unholy is found in Leviticus chapter number 10, verses 10 and 11. And the Bible says, "In that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." The Lord has given Aaron a set of rules and regulations he is to be concerned with in the priesthood. Aaron and his sons are the priests of the Israelites, and they're to follow the protocol of what God has set up for them to be. The standard that God wants us to use and always puts in front of us is to make sure we know the difference between holy and unholy and between the unclean and the clean. We're living in a day when it's hard to tell the difference between the holy and the unholy. Man has mixed everything together and has come up with a confused definition of what is holy and what is unholy. It's hard to draw a line today between that which is right and that which is wrong in this society. We've left the rule book of telling us what is right and what is wrong, what is clean and what is unclean, what is holy and what is unholy, and what is truth and what is error. There are too many ideas of what is hallowed, what is sanctified, what is consecrated. There are not many absolutes anymore. We've left off the Word of God. Man is looking at the new modern dictionaries and the new modern so-called Bibles to get a new modern pattern of what holy and unholy means. Now, we're living in the most confused time that we've ever lived in because we have a hard time today trying to figure out what is right and what is wrong. Many call holy things unholy things, and many call unholy things holy things. To understand what is holy and unholy, we need to compare the unholy with the holy. Now, to do that, we must establish what is holy. We know that God is holy. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, the Bible said, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." To be like God is to be holy. To be opposite of God is to be unholy. You don't have to have a college professor to be a college professor to figure this out. Well, of course, looking at some of the modern day professors, I'm not sure they can figure this out either. Amen. Multitudes have unholy minds. Paul calls this unholy minds corrupt minds. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, he said, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." But I'll tell you, we ought to run from that group today that have corrupt minds and are talking about corrupt things and ungodly things. We need to be holy. Now, God describes the unholy in the first chapter of the book of Romans. I call it the fruit of unholiness, if you will. He tells of their unholy deeds in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through verse number 32. This is quite lengthy on scripture, but I want you to get it today. The Bible said, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Amen. He goes on to say, "being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." I want you to notice today these things. These are the fruits of an unholy life. God tells us what to expect from the unholy in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, the Lord said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having all that today. We're in the last days, and this is perilous times. The way most treat and disrespect the Lord Jesus Christ is a good description of the unholy. Jesus is viewed in an unholy manner in many circles today, even by so-called Christians. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29 says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, many have no respect for the Lord Jesus Christ in our modern day. That breaks my heart. They're trampling the blood of Christ under their feet. Many are doing this by discrediting the blood of Christ as being, the saving power of the blood of Christ. They just kind of discredit the blood of Christ as being the saving power of Christ. Amen. Now, Jesus gave himself for our sins on the cross of Calvary. We all know that. His blood is shed blood. And notice I said shed blood, not spill blood. It was no accident on Calvary, as some might have you to believe today. His blood has washed away my sins and yours, if they're gone at all. Look at what Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 says. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. To deny the power of the blood is to hold an unholy view of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. God will not hold the unholy guiltless. No, sir. Many of the songs about the blood of Christ have been taken out of the song books today, and they've been replaced with the songs of a bloodless religion. Old-fashioned worship is being replaced with rituals and customs of the minds of unholy men and women. Contemporary music has been introduced to replace the conventional music and the conventional method of singing. Amen. Oh, that breaks my heart. The old-fashioned bloodless songs, amen, are being brought into play. Amen. I want you to know they'll take them songs today and they'll have a bloodless, and that, and they're trying to make old-fashioned worship that way. And you can't do it. They've been brought into play. They're being used today in an effort to replace these old hymns that exalt Christ and His redeeming blood. I just saw an advertisement this morning of a highly regarded Christian rock group with all the bells and whistles. They did not look at all like they were godly nor holy. They all looked unholy and really looked perverted to me. All the tattoos and the ponytails of the men were sickening, and the bouncing around on the stage, plus the jumping and the shaking of the audience, did not bring a holy touch to my heart. It did just the opposite. They thought they were in the perfect will of God, I'm sure. But thank God I knew better. Amen. Think about all the young people that are being deceived with this kind of junk called gospel groups. Even Christian rock music, which is not Christian at all, is putting the assemblies all across the country. The elderly are being forced to adopt this style of worship because they're not able to drive any distance to find an old-fashioned way of worship. Amen. A church. Amen. Which, by the way, is hard to find. I hear and see this all the time. I talk to some of the elderly who are attending these churches, and they're concerned about it. They don't know what to do. The younger people don't seem to care either because they just know it's just a matter of time and they'll be out of their hair. There'll be no elderly causing any problem. Amen. And they can get over to their own personal thinking. Many of our young preachers have graduated from seminaries and come to churches, and they've been taught to trample the blood of Christ under their feet, and they'll bring and introduce that into those churches. To sum it up, Paul is saying in this ninth verse of this first chapter that the law is given and it's needed to bring the unholy to the knowledge of the truth and let them know that they're sinners and that they need Christ. We hope this lesson, study number 86, has been a blessing. We hope it strengthens your soul. God bless you. Amen and amen.